Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I said to my son, where do you find the gym in Hogwarts? He said, they don't look like they lift, bro. I said, no, dummy. Look for the dumbbell doors.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, April 20th. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with me, my top shot hot boy, a guy who celebrates every day like it's 420, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo, man. The international man of mystery, taken to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen here is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Guys, take a second. Smash that like button. Later on, leave your comments and make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. We are trying to reach 40,000 subs by the end of the week. It's still in play. We can do it. It's an attainable goal, but we need your help. So get your friends to subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Help us out, guys.
Each one teach one, each one reach one.
Okay.
Send a link to somebody you know that isn't subscribed. Tell them to subscribe. Send you a screenshot. Then send us a screenshot of that entire conversation so we can know you're putting in the work.
All right. I like that. Also, email us your questions and comments for tomorrow's Beach Steppin' podcast. Yes, back to the beach to read your emails and tweets. Send them in nodunks@theathletic.com or tweet them in at nodunksinc. That's an INC. And finally, grab your merch over at nodunks.com. Immaculate items always available for sale. All right. We got some Is This News Fun. We got Tweet of the Night. We'll get to our Pick'em results and tonight's Pick'em game. But we're starting here, guys, with what I'm just calling three games, three questions, because we had some incredible performances last night, some wild endings. So our first one, Lee, you're going to get us started. Steph Curry hits 10 threes again, scores 49 in the Warriors' win in Philadelphia. My question off of this game, is this the greatest offensive stretch in modern NBA history, Lele? I say modern because I'm sure Wilt did like 100 straight for like 8 weeks or something. But yeah, modern NBA history. What do you think?
Certainly the way he's doing it, by shooting the ball at just an incredible rate. If you just go to his like stats page and look at his splits for the season and go basically to April, for this month in 10 games, he's averaging 41 points on 55, 50, 90% shooting from the free throw line. Those threes are just incredible. And last night you saw as well, like, it doesn't matter. It is literally unguardable what he does out there. They can't stop him because there was a time where, you know, a couple of times doubles went at him and he just steps back a tiny bit more and knocks out three. And Joel Embiid decided to leave him out the three-point line rather than give up the uncontested two-pointer. In this case, when it's Steph Curry, give him the two-pointer. You may as well concede that two-pointer because he's just so hot. So they tried. But, you know, Steph, his game has just evolved to the point now where it's like if he gets a shot off, you're more shocked that it doesn't go in than when it does go in. He's just so good. And what I liked about it, though, as well, especially, was after the game when he was talking with Lisa Salters, because he wasn't sort of shocked or he wasn't making out a big deal about anything because, you know, he was born with this incredible talent, no doubt about that. But and he'd be an above-average shooter if he didn't really work hard on his game. But that's what I think really does make him great. The great ones really do work so hard on their game. And I've been fortunate enough to witness a lot of Steph not in game states, where pre-games, off days, and every single time I've seen him when the media's been allowed in, he's shooting. Whether it's free throws, mid-ranges, three-pointers, coming off screens, he's working on his shot literally every single moment he's out there. If he's not on the court shooting, he's back in the weight room or doing something else. You just don't see him. Like, he's never just wandering around talking to guys or chucking around. You know, he's like, if I'm out here, I'm shooting. And that's what he does.
He sounds like a real.
I don't know, Lee. I've seen those highlights of him pretending to play other sports with the basketball.
Okay.
I don't know. I saw him set a volleyball spike recently. Messing around too much on the court out there. He'd be shooting 60% from the field if he wasn't taking that time off.
But that's the part of it for me is like he has got this incredible talent and he has worked as hard as he can to maximize it. And I think sometimes we look at players and athletes in across other sports as well, and you think this guy, it just looks like the game is so easy to him, but he doesn't necessarily maximize what he has. I think Steph really is doing that right now, and it is just so much incredibly fun to watch. And I wonder, he's kind of hovering around the MVP conversation. I don't really think anyone thinks he can win it simply because of the Warriors record, but if he hadn't won an MVP already, do you think his case would be stronger even though he has this record right now? Because, you know, they are more likely to make only the play-in tournament rather than the playoffs. And once they get there, they're going to be a hard out. But I just wonder if that's something. I mean, maybe, maybe not. But it feels like it's like, well, his record's not good enough. He can't win despite him doing this. But either way, I mean, it is just incredible watching that shot get released and go in. And everyone who's watching, everyone in the arena, Mike Breen, Doris Burke, they all know. It's like, yep, this one's in for sure. And it continues to happen.
Yeah, he's on a hell of a run. Over the last 10 games, he's made 72 three-pointers, which is, I mean, Trey, that's pure insanity. I mean, it really is. Like, we are now accustomed to just seeing the 10 made threes like next to his name in the box score. But we got to remember, that's so stupid. I don't care. We're in an era where everybody shoots a bunch of threes. That's still a shit ton of threes in a game. And he's done it, what, like four times in the past, like, I don't know, 8 days or whatever the hell it is. Like, it's unbelievable. Steve Kerr, after the game, he said, I've seen Kobe Bryant early in his career. He had a stretch where he went nuts. Obviously, Michael Jordan has some stretches where he scored like crazy. But nobody's ever shot the ball like this in the history of the game. Even by Steph's own lofty standards, this is above and beyond. Does Kerr have a case there? And like I asked Lili there, Trey, you know, is this truly just the way he's doing it with the three ball, the greatest offensive stretch? Or, you know, are you like, hey, Harden has done similar things for good chunks of time. What do you think?
Harden has done similar things, but people don't give him the credit for that. With James Harden, it's always, how can we not give him the MVP? With Steph Curry, it feels like, how can we give him the MVP? Who can forget Kevin Durant's fun streak where he had, what, like 25 points in a game, but also 60-plus percent shooting? Something ridiculous like that. I don't know. When you look at Steph Curry's game log and the bad game that he had was 33 points and 4 3-pointers, it's special stuff. Because exactly what you're saying, it feels like every shot's going to go in. I'm taking the 10 threes for granted at this point. It's like, oh, just another 10 three-point game for Steph Curry. Let me see those cool layups he had, because that was the thing for me. This was not a full-strength Philadelphia team. No Ben Simmons. Certainly that would help, but they're still a top-five defense, and Curry was making it look ridiculously easy. Once the threes are dropping, as they always are in April right now, the inside is so wide open, so it's a pump fake. And then, like you're saying, we're just giving up the two. There's nobody in the lane for some of these layups for Curry. He just gets the defenders off their feet, and they're like, hey, man, 2 points? That's fine by us at this point. That's a smart decision. But yeah, the shooting right now is insanity. I don't know. It feels like we're getting that graphic every single Curry game right now. Most 10-plus three-point games in his career, and he's just stretching out the lead time and time again. By the end of this month, he's going to have more 10-point three-point games or 10 three-pointer games in a month than everybody else has in their entire career. He's right there to do it, and the only guy who could catch him is Klay Thompson, who's not playing. So, right. Yeah, what he's doing right now is pretty special stuff. Fun to watch every single night.
I love this comparison from Monte Poole of NBC Sports. He compared Curry's run here, and I'll throw this at you, Trey. I'll throw you a fastball right down the middle. He's comparing it to Barry Bonds. Like that stretch in 2004, the summer of 2004, where he was like demoralizing pitchers and terrorizing managers. Like, that's not a bad comparison. It felt like every time Bonds was at the plate, he's like, well, he's either going to hit a home run or they're going to just walk him because they're scared of him. And that's exactly what you're saying. They're like, it feels like the defense at this point is like, well, let's just give him a layup. Jesus, at least it's not a three. And that's like the equivalent of the home run, I guess, here.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Skeets. That's not bad right there.
That's all Monte Poole.
Well, that makes sense to me. He's a Bay Area guy.
Yep.
Saw Barry Bonds up close, and that's exactly what it was with Bonds. It's like, they're not going to give him a pitch, but if he gets a pitch, he's hitting it out of the park. Yeah. And right now, we're not going to give Steph Curry a pitch. I don't know what's the what am I trying to say? We're not going to give Steph Curry a pitch, which is the same as we're going to double team him. I think double teaming him is the intentional walk, right? Because you're taking away the three pointer. You're trying to take away the home run. Trying to take away the home run by giving up the walk. The walk here is walking to the rim. Unfortunately, they're giving up too many pitches to Steph Curry because, unlike in baseball, you can do something to get your pitch. You know, like if Barry Bonds were able to run out there, take the ball out of Randy Johnson's hand, throw it to himself and crack it out, that's what Curry is doing, hitting all these home runs. He's finding a way to get wide open. Like, how did he have George Hill on skates that badly at that point in the game? He just dribbled out of a trap, sent George Hill flying. That guy ran to the free throw line. Wide open jumper for Steph Curry. Of course, that one's going in on a night like last night. Special, special stuff from another Bay Area guy. Love talking Barry Bonds. The only thing that can make this better is if Steph Curry was doing it with a dangly earring.
What do you think, Lele?
Yeah, I would just say, I know when you intentionally walk a guy, you just throw it way out of the zone. But if Barry Bonds could just step over and crank one, you know, maybe not hit a home run, but just at least get a couple of base runners home. Maybe that's the equivalent because, you know, with three, you're conceding two, but you're actually saving yourself a point from Steph. So maybe instead of the grand slam from Barry Bonds, you're only conceding three runs instead of the four there. But yeah, a couple of times, and you're right, no Ben Simmons, which obviously is a big thing, and no Tobias Harris as well there for Philadelphia. But it was Danny Green a couple of times and George Hill. It's like, oh my God, those guys just look so slow and so on. But Steph makes anybody look bad because that's the thing. You can double him, you can triple him. It doesn't really matter because his range is anywhere. It is anywhere on the court. Once he steps over half court, in fact, he could probably start pulling up behind half court and he'd still knock them in. But that's, you know, his handle is so impressive that he gets to that spot and he needs less than a second to get that shot off. And once the shot's off, it's just like there's never a bad shot. He never sort of takes a shot that you think is ugly. It's just sometimes they don't go in, but it's becoming rarer and rarer for that to happen. He's just incredibly locked in right now. And I mean, it's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, just enjoy it right now. Yeah. It's also fun to see him do it against his brother.
Yeah.
Hey, looks, I mean, Seth was playing really well in the first half. Like, he was sort of going, you know, somewhat toe-to-toe with his older bro.
Well, isn't
things changed in the second half.
Isn't Seth technically a better shooter than
he
Steph?
He is. But, yeah, 3-point percentage-wise, he is. Which is a wild stat. Yeah. Like, we're talking about the greatest shooter in NBA history, and then you get to be, as the little brother, well, actually, I shot it better than
you. Not even the best shooter in his family.
Technically, I hit a better percentage than you, at least right now. I mean, there's still time for, I guess, Steph Curry to go get that one back from him, too. So, yeah, crazy stuff. All right, well, Lee, you sort of sprinkled in the possibility of Steph maybe trying to catch Jokic, let's say, for MVP or someone else ahead of him. Can he do it? Is there enough time left? If he does another month of 40-plus points per game and 10 three-pointers made per game, like, is it plausible, even if the record is not that great? Well, let's go to the other game from last night that was incredible. And this was the Joker. Yes, Jokic going for 47, leading the Nuggets over the Grizz, 139-137 in double overtime. So, Trey, the question off of this game, again, it's like sort of like going hand in hand here with Curry's performances as of late. Is Jokic a 100% lock to win MVP, despite what Curry's doing, despite what some other guys are doing?
Well, Skeets, my fellow media brethren have engaged in some heated discussions on this very topic recently. I'm here to tell you calmly and coolly that you can 100% lock it in.
Yes.
Nikola Jokic is going to win MVP this year. I'm not saying he'll get 100% of the votes. I'm actually buying into the recent argument that people are making that games missed this season should probably have less of an impact than recent seasons because just of the nature of this this year, but I think that will come into play more so with all NBA voting, personally. That being said, I think Jokic has three things in his favor. First, Jokic has played a lot more games this season than other top candidates. Plus, there's only about 15 games remaining. That's the big thing timing-wise to me. All these other candidates are just kind of running out of time to narrow the gap. Second, the Nuggets are still balling without Jamal Murray, 3-0 since his injury. They're not going to win their last 18 games of the season, but it doesn't feel like they're taking a step back. And last but not least, Jokic, MVP performances every single night. As my main man, Big Smooth, texted me after the Nuggets win last night, Jokic had 47 tater tots, 15 big beef ribs, and 8 scoops of the applesauce. That's an MVP meal. Yeah, it is, Jeff. You throw in a couple of clutch free throws in the fourth quarter, the dagger three in second overtime. Mm. I think that Jokic is going to win it here. He just keeps playing at an MVP level for the entire season. The wins are starting to catch up, and he's doing it with less help now. I think Jokic is going to win it. There are going to be other players who get votes, no doubt about it. I think Embiid's making a pretty solid case right now, getting back in the mix. Curry's going to probably finish top five. We'll see what LeBron does if he gets back in time, just because he was, you know, right at the top of the leaderboard when he went out with injury. That being said, I think for the entirety of the season, between the performance, the team performance, and, you know, at the end of everything, Jokic is going to have played probably 15 more games than these other players. I think that Nikola Jokic is going to win MVP this year.
Lee, same question for you. If you're a betting man, are you putting money on Jokic winning MVP here? Can anybody catch him?
Well, yes, I guess someone can, but certainly I believe he's the favorite to win. And I think the games played is a huge one for him. And again, especially as Trey mentioned, since Jamal Murray's gone down, you wondered how the Nuggets would react. And they've been great. And, you know, it starts with their star, Nikola Jokic, and he does everything. You know, he can hit the three, he can pass the ball, his defense has improved. So he's doing everything as the Nuggets continue to sort of cement their place in the playoffs there as well. And hopefully if they can get home court advantage and lock that in, it's going to be tough to see someone like a Giannis or a James Harden or a Lillard really snatch it from him, because I just think Jokic has been consistent this season.
There's only two guys. Let's be honest. Okay, hold on. I'm tired of this. There's only two guys that can actually catch him, and there's nobody going to. He's a lock. But it's Curry or Embiid. That's it. All these other guys, I'm sorry, they just don't have a case. They don't.
Well,
they're out. They're not playing. I mean, like LeBron, I'm sorry. You're amazing. Yeah. You're probably still the best player. Everybody would draft you number one in the playoff series. But you're not winning MVP this year, so that's done. You know, same for a guy like Harden, who's missed a ton of games now. Of course, Durant. It's those two guys. It's Curry, what he's doing right now, this unbelievable run, and then it's Embiid, who of course has played less games than Jokic, and then that's the huge deficit here, and that's what, yeah, got Brian Windhorst and the two Tims going crazy on the Hoop Collective not too long ago.
I think
that's fair. That's like, whatever. That's an argument you can have if you want, but it's only those two guys that have any chance. And honestly, I think it would be Jokic getting hurt in his next game and then not playing for the rest of the season for them to even have a chance.
Mm. But everyone else has gotten injured and has missed time. So, you know, hopefully he doesn't.
That's my point. Jokic would need that, but he's the one that doesn't. Yeah.
I just sort of feel the way it's going. Let's say James Harden comes back immediately and again goes into that great run, especially if Durant's out. People are going to talk. Of course they are, especially if the Nets finish top of the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, look, it's definitely Jokic's to lose from here. But it's just, it's we've ridden waves of, I mean, there's been more guys sort of probably the favorite this year than we've had in the last 10 or 15 years for MVP at some point throughout the season. You know, LeBron, Kevin Durant early on, of course, they have missed the time. You know, Chris Paul and the Suns, they're putting a case in. I know he's not going to win it, but I just sort of feel there's a couple of things that could still shake out from here to win it. But it has been so much fun for Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, because he was great last night. How Denver Memphis lost this game, though.
Oh, they lost the game three times.
Yeah, they had
regulation, overtime, and overtime.
98.8% chance of winning at one point when they led by 12 with 4 minutes to go, and lost this game. And Ja Morant, if he makes that last play, I think it was the end of first overtime where he sort of threw it up and he nearly dunked it off the backboard to win the game like that. That would have been incredible. So incredibly tough loss there for Memphis. But again, when you're the Nuggets, you need to get every win you can right now, just again to make sure you finish top four in the West.
Yeah, I actually felt bad for Xavier Tillman, who's like a big ass dude too. That guy's like a brick house. Obviously gives up a lot of height to a guy like Jokic and weight, because he's a monster, but like, he's giving it his all. He had a great game, even, you know, he got the starting nod there because of some injuries to the Grizzlies players. And like, just Jokic at times, like, all right, you know, I'm just going down. I'm just like, and he's so smooth for a giant dude. Like, this is gonna be pretty fun, Trey. You're gonna be happy, right? Because this will be, unless I'm forgetting somebody, he likely will be the first MVP since Shaq, right? Center to win this thing back in, what was that, 99, 2000? Like, it's been a long time since a true center has won MVP, and I do think Jokic is going to run away with this thing.
Yeah, exciting times. Big men are back! Mm-hmm. Sure, Giannis Antetokounmpo has won a couple of MVPs, and he's kind of a center, man. He's definitely a big guy, but he's not a center in the way that Jokic is. You're not throwing the ball down to Giannis in the post in the last 30 seconds of a game for him to draw a foul and go to the line and hit a couple of free throws. But then Jokic also steps out and has a wide open three. Oh, Tough stuff for Memphis. I wonder if Grayson Allen is heading for a worst of the week here. He's been playing incredible basketball, but he missed two free throws. That gave a win to the Mavericks, and then he had a wide open dunk that would have ended this thing here against the Nuggets. He tried to take off from about the free throw line, looking like Dr. J out there. Came up just a little bit short, and that was enough for the Nuggets to pull it up.
Yeah, this one hurt. You know, I'm cheering on my Grizzlies right now, this second half run, and they were up 12, right? Like, with, like, less than 4 minutes to go. They were up 7 with not a lot of time left, and somehow the Nuggets just kept hitting threes, Lee. It was like Will Barton hit some crazy ones. Michael Porter Jr. did a great job. Obviously, the Jokic one there in double overtime, the dagger. Hell of a performance here from the Nuggets, who are not only without Jamal Murray, but without Monte Morris, too. Don't worry. Your 7-footer is your point guard, basically, in Jokic. And that's the thing. Like, we can get into all the stats. These guys are on unbelievable runs. Like, 3 or 4 guys, the numbers they've put up this year are, like, mind-boggling. Curry also has the lead, right, for points per game.
Yes.
Like, he's the lead. He overtook Beal there after another awesome performance last night. But it's like Curry-like, where it's like, Jokic, just everything goes through him. Like, every single time, especially in, like, clutch situations, like, let him decide what we're going to do. He's either going to bully a guy. Obviously, you can set the pick and pop a little bit because you're comfortable with him shooting. He's one of the greatest passers of all time. You just always are giving him the ball. And it's like, I hope these people that are, like, voting on this are actually watching the games. Like, I shouldn't be having to try and help Jokic's MVP case, but, like, just watch the games. Like, everything they do goes through him. And it's also pretty damn incredible. I don't think we give him enough credit for, like, he's a giant dude and, you know, his conditioning is pretty damn impressive. Like, he plays a decent amount of minutes. Like, this is a double overtime game. They're still going down the stretch. Like, you can't really generally say that for a lot of 7-footers. Like, oh yeah, they're giant dudes. They're going to tire. He doesn't seem to.
No.
Like, he just sort of like, and maybe it's just the way he plays. Like, it's sort of like he's like loafing through the games, it feels like, but that's just the way he is. And it's pretty special. The NBA is awesome right now in terms of, like, individual performances, man. Like, I'm
basketball's
hyped.
My favorite sport.
It's a really great sport.
I love it, man.
That's the thing about Jokic, why he's so hard to defend, because he still does that stuff where he backs in and you think he's making some move or he's looking for some passer, and then he just sort of flips it up over his shoulder, and it's like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, you know? And then other times you might throw the double at him and he'll find the guy who you just can't even see who's open. He'll just hit that guy in the corner who'll nook down a shot. So he's such an unselfish player. Even though he had 47 last night on 31 shots, he doesn't need to go out and do that. He scores when he needs to, but he really does like to get everybody else involved. And that's just what makes him such a hard thing, because he, you know, the driveway dad fallaways as well, that he gets those ones going, and the hook shots, the flip shots. And then there are other times where he is at the top of the paint and you think he's looking for a cutter or someone, and then he's like, all right, I'll just shoot this three. And that goes in. So he's just got so much variety to his game, and it's deceptive when you look at him, because he certainly isn't, you know, the most athletic looking player out there. You know, he looks like he is a little bit out of shape, but he's quicker than he looks. And, you know, he is in good shape, even if it's a little bit deceptive to look at.
He plays, I figured it out, because maybe, like, recently I've been going over to my buddy Grisha's playing with my godson on, like, a 7-foot high rim,
You
know, so it's down there so he can get the shots up. Like, he's still, like, 5 years old. And I'm, like, so I'm playing in these games when we're playing, like, King of Court, stuff like that. It's like the equivalent of us playing on a 7.5-foot high rim. This is the way Jokic sort of plays. Like, these little flip shots. My buddy Grish has a dumb wire going from the street to his house. So you got to sort of, like, flip and roll it around this dumb wire half the time. It's like, that's how he plays. Which is really hilarious when you think about it, but... it's awesome right now. Okay.
The stream team is all saying, what about Dirk's MVP season? Do you count that as a big man MVP season? If you're comparing him to Jokic.
7-footer, I guess. But,
yeah, I guess he wasn't technically a center, but yeah.
Yeah.
He's a giant dude.
Yeah, shout out to Eric Dampier holding down the 5 for Dallas back in the day.
Great call.
There were some bad Mavs centers back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, Dwight, when he was runner-up in, 29? Was that 2009?
Yep.
He would have been the last, pure center that would have won it, but Dirk, I mean it's like Tim Duncan, you know, center forward, doesn't, you know, what is he? He's just a big man out there, you know.
It's just a big man. It's exactly right. All right, the final game that we have to address with a question attached to it. Suns edge the Bucks 128-127 after a foul is called. PJ Tucker called for the foul on Booker. Final second of overtime, Booker goes to the line, hits one free throw, that's the game. Because there was only 0.3 left. So, here we go. Did the refs make the right call? Was Booker fouled, Trey? I guess, is part one. And even if he was, is it ridiculous that the refs even had the nerve, I guess, to call it in the overtime game? So what do you have at it?
Honestly, it's a bit of a how dare you to the refs. How dare you make the right call? Because I'm kind of buying what everybody was selling post-game. Devin Booker said, I don't think anybody was arguing that it was a foul or not. I think they were seeing if the foul happened before or after the horn. It was right. A smack across the wrist that was very loud. The ref made the right call. Monty Williams agreed. He said, I heard that smack. Even PJ Tucker said, it is what it is. They made the call. I think in that situation, that's a tough call to make. Tie game, overtime. I think that's 100% right. It kind of comes down to, yeah, you made the right call, but maybe let this one go. I don't know how loud the smack was. We obviously couldn't hear it on the broadcast, but I don't know. It must have been a foul. You saw Devin Booker's face. He was in anguish as he went up for the jump shot. It's very weird to see, like, the picture of it because he's like, like he's getting smacked so hard, and it looks like there's nobody around him. Probably the right call. I would rather let that one just play out because this was an awesome game, and it ended with a video review and a free throw, which only Lee Ellis is a fan of.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this had 24 lead changes and 16 ties. Usually, I tweeted out, Lee, overtimes, they generally suck in the NBA. They're not all that close usually. They're like, one team just gets up and then it's sort of over. This overtime was amazing. It was like back and forth, like big shot after big shot. And then, yeah, it ends on this and you're the only one out there happy that it's a free throw. But what would you think about the call and, you know, the and the officials like making it in that situation? Would you rather the players decide it? Or did you think, you know what, I'm sorry, you did foul. You reached in, you got him on the elbow. What do you think?
Yeah, Bucks fans are saying there was no foul. And I don't think that's right. What they should have been saying was like, nah, it's just not the way we wanted that game to end. But I think the ref made the right call. I really do in that case because I think PJ Tucker hit him and it was like, well, you know, the clock, the refs would have loved it if he'd actually hit him as the time ran out. So then it wouldn't have maybe necessarily gone to the free throw line, you know, but there was enough time there because he actually hangs onto the ball, if you see there. So the shot wouldn't have actually gotten off, you know, if he fouled him right then. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So, but I, you know, I don't like a game ending like that. I like it when there's a pressure situation and the team's down by two and the other guy gets like four players jump on him and then he has to hit free throws. That I'm okay with because that's pressure. But this one just, it just sort of took the wind out of it a little bit because it was such a great game. No Giannis, though, for most of that OT for the Bucks, and they were down, I think, six at one point. Before coming back in.
Yeah, PJ, they splashed two threes in a row.
Yeah, PJ hit a big one, and then Chris Middleton hit a huge three for them as well to keep them close. But unfortunately, the right call was made, I think. And I say unfortunately because it wasn't the way we wanted it to end, but I think we have to give the credit to the refs that she was right there, made the right call. It's not her fault that she was just following the rules. So, you know, it's the way it goes sometimes.
I think... maybe in the moment, the heat of the moment on Twitter, at least, I'm watching this game live, I was furious because I thought the call was called on Drew Holiday. And I was furious because if you had watched that play, we didn't show you the entire clip, but like Drew Holiday, man's up Booker. Like he ain't going anywhere. He locks his ass up. They try a couple times, like a pick to get him off of him. Nah, Drew just like, you know, slips by it. Like, no, I'm staying on you. Like, we know you're shooting it. And I'm going to defend you. So you're like, oh, amazing defense, like really cool to see. Like, obviously a talented offensive player in Booker, great defense player in Drew Holiday. And then it goes aside. And Drew does like, he swipes down, right? But you're like, oh, I don't think he touches him. Like, and like here, like right there. And you're like, oh my God, they called that. Like, that's what I thought the call was on. And then it's like, oh wait, it's this PJ Tucker hitting the elbow thing. It's like, okay. I mean, if that's what they were actually calling, then sure, like, can she see that where she is, the official?
She calls,
I mean, maybe she just
away.
Heard it. Yeah, yeah. So, she did call it right away. But yeah, anyway, it was an awesome, like, just one-on-one type of thing there where it was like, and Drew Holiday really did, like, lock him up. Like, that's not a great shot that Booker's even attempting there. Like, you can't ask for better defense. But there were some other calls, like, down the stretch, too, where the Bucks like, were awarded a timeout.
Oh, yeah.
In fourth. It was, like, a loose ball.
That was
and, like,
Giannis. Somehow got the last possession of regulation where he just fell over. He was like Austin Powers on the plane. He just fell over.
Right.
And how they called that as a timeout for Milwaukee. I mean, Suns fans would have been fuming if the Bucks had somehow pulled off the victory after that because he lost possession.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I think Budenholzer just called it on the side, and PJ Tucker didn't have possession. The ball was free there. So the Bucks got their chances as well and just couldn't convert it.
Yeah, it was weird to see Giannis just cramp up there too, yeah. TK. Like he had the old, I mean, I know that pain. I don't drink enough water. I get the toe cramps, man. And that's what it looked like he had, like the foot cramps. It was like, oh, it's so painful. You just got to stretch it out. And then he didn't come back, which was a little surprising. Usually you can sort of like, you know, stretch it out, I guess, or get some fluids in you and feel a little bit better. But they decided not to when they got back in the game with all those threes splashing.
I guess he'd been out of the lineup kind of recently. Might as well take it easy. The win doesn't mean a whole bunch to the Bucks, but yeah, I mean, who amongst us hasn't been playing basketball and got a cramp? It's terrible. The worst, though, is like after a high school basketball practice, if you get that cramp when you're driving home and your leg just extends as much as you can, which means you're either slamming on the brakes or flooring it down Little Rock Road doing 150 to get home. How are you supposed to stop and massage that cramp? It's impossible.
Oh my God. The worst I ever cramped was like after a ridiculous long run. I was at Ryerson, so I was in university. Played for hours. We had a crazy run going. Just played so long. Obviously didn't drink enough water. Was fine playing the entire time. Like I'm saying, we like played like 3 hours, like back and forth, like full court. I remember walking to the streetcar, and right while I was about to get on the streetcar, I cramped up. But like full legs, like both of them. Like I dragged myself up the streetcar steps. And like nobody's helping you. It's in Toronto. Everyone's like, oh, what's wrong with this guy? What drugs is this guy on? This guy's crazy. Like, oh my God, it was so bad, Lily. You got a bad cramping story there? You always eat too many bananas. You're fine, bro.
I have to say, I mean, no, because usually when you feel it, you just sort of, if you're playing pickup, you just sit out for a game or two while it sort of loosens up, I suppose. I mean,
yeah, it sounds like a real loser. I'll sit this one out. Man.
I'm gonna sit out. What do you mean? What do you mean?
I'm running still, man. We ain't lose yet. All right. So you haven't really had a crazy one.
Not one that sort of immediately comes to mind anyway. But
that's a great point from Jay. Lee not having a story? Yeah, that's a first. Thought you would take us to Morocco, the time you cramped up in Morocco. Oh, here's a photo. You know, so cramped up.
Look how straight my legs are here.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you have it. It's all those bananas, I'm pretty sure, that you're eating. All right, guys. Let's hear from you with all three of those questions. Is this the greatest offensive stretch we've ever seen in the modern NBA history with Curry? Is Jokic a lock to win MVP? And what do you think? Did the refs make the right call there in the ending of that wild Suns-Bucks game? Great night. Before we take a break, we also had another wedgie. And my God, thank you so much. Oh, I actually didn't write it in my notes, but someone let us know on Twitter that he said they were convinced they were the only person watching this game. This is the Thunder Wizards game. It was Maladon there sticking the wedgie number 41. And like, I didn't see anybody else tweet at us that this happened. So this one person, I do apologize. I wish I had your
Punder Up.
Thank you, Punder Up.
Punder Up.
There it is. Thank you so much for letting us know. And I'm telling you, when this happens, I sort of get a little sick to my stomach because I just immediately start wondering how many wedgies are out there that we haven't caught. You know, like, this is up to you guys. You got to let us know. We're not watching all these games, of course. I'm definitely not watching Thunder Wizards when all these other great games are going on. So thank you, Punder Up. And 41 wedgies. Wedgietracker.com has been updated. Back on pace for 56. And nice. Go check that out. It's an unbelievable website. Fall down the rabbit hole there watching all the wedgies. Great, great stuff. Okay. We will get to Is This News? But first, a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
JD, everybody wants to know. You're in your same house right now. You're just in a different room.
Yeah, that's correct. In the bedroom. Yeah, okay. I'm in the bedroom because they're taking pictures. They're taking pictures of the house. It's going on. It's going on the market on Thursday.
Okay. And so, yes, you're obviously moving. That is the good news. That's the great news. And that's coming up soon, I guess, in a couple weeks.
Yeah. So there's not going to be a show that day. Heads up, guys.
What, early May sometime? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, May 7, I think. Okay, we're looking at May 7, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll still do a YouTube.
Yeah.
Because we could still do that. We could operate
Go right ahead.
JD might just start saying, just do the YouTubes every day then.
Yeah. Don't need me. It's time for Is This News? Is This News going to give you a headline? Tell me whether or not it's newsworthy. First one, ESPN coming through here with the Miles Turner out indefinitely with a right foot injury. Am I still here? Yeah?
You're here.
My Wi-Fi just did something insane. ESPN, Miles Turner out indefinitely with right foot injury. Trey, is this news?
I think this is a little bit of news because it's bad timing for Indiana. They've been struggling here recently. They lost three straight, and I mentioned it after Big Beef yesterday. Pacers got beefed twice over the weekend. Miles Turner, he doesn't help a ton on the glass, but it does show how vulnerable Indiana can be on defense. They're middle of the pack, all things considered, but they really fall off when Miles Turner isn't playing. This is going to be a lot of Goga Bitadze probably stepping into the starting lineup. Obviously, Domantas Sabonis is going to be a big guy out there for the Pacers as well, but they've been giving up a ton of offensive rebounds lately. They've been giving up a ton of points in the paint lately. A lot of that has come with Miles Turner being on the bench. He missed six games recently with an ankle injury before coming back and then hurting his toe again. So yeah, it's a bad timing for Indiana because right now they're only two games up on 10th place in the Eastern Conference. That's the Bulls. Who knows if the Bulls have obviously been struggling. There's a little bit of a race right now for the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference. And for the Pacers, it feels like they're going to have to outscore their competition down the stretch here without Miles Turner. And that is maybe a big ask for Indiana, not a lights-out offensive team. So, yeah, bad timing on the injury because it looks like the Pacers might find themselves in a little bit of a playoff race here.
Yeah, this team has been plagued all season long with injuries, right? TJ Warren with the stress fracture in his foot, and then Caris LeVert, obviously they acquired him, and he was out for a bit. Jeremy Lamb, Sabonis right now with the lower back, now Miles Turner. Lee, can the Pacers hold on here to a play-in spot? I think Trey's right. There's a lot of teams there, the Zombie Raps, the Bulls trying to go up, the Cinderella Wizards, even the Cavs are still sort of technically there.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
Yeah, they possibly can because a lot of those teams are unconvincing themselves. But what started off as a pretty solid start to the season for the Pacers has kind of fallen away to the point where it's like, oh, I wonder how things will look for them next season, because, you know, they obviously had Oladipo, traded him for LeVert. I think LeVert, you know, could be there for the long term, and Sabonis will be as well. But you just wonder if they do move on from maybe Miles Turner. I mean, he's been good for them, but I just feel that they are lacking something, and he's maybe their most valuable asset. So, you know, we sort of overlook the Pacers a lot. They tend to make the playoffs every season, but they never really do anything once they get there, and that could be another case. I think that's going to be their high watermark again this season, just to, you know, make it into those final eight spots if they can do that. But if they do, they're not going to win anything. They maybe win a game in the playoffs, but I think that's the best they can hope for.
Yeah, been a rough year there for Indiana. And at one point, they were doing great. They were like up at the fourth seed there. We were talking about like, oh, is this like a sneaky good team here? And yeah, it's gotten bad. They've lost four of their last five and fallen to ninth, as we said there in the East. All right, next one here. CBS Sports, Lamar Odom opens up about Kobe's desire to be the best. Quote here, he said he was better than Mike. Lee, is this news?
No, it's not news that Kobe thought he was better than Michael Jordan. Most players think they are the greatest player in the league. Joey Graham once said he was the most versatile player in the NBA. So that's not a surprise. But I think what it was, though, what Lamar was trying to say was more that Kobe really had that desire to get to that level. That was his mark, was to be like, I want to be better than Michael Jordan, even though Kobe deep down probably realized he couldn't do that. You know what I mean? But it was almost like chasing that point where it's like, I just want to get into that stratosphere of being in the same sort of sentence as Michael Jordan. But realistically, I think most people have Kobe in the top 10 to 15 of all-time players. Obviously, Kobe fans have him as the number one. But I think generally, he's somewhere in that sort of, you know, that second tier, if you like. I mean, I don't think anyone realistically thinks he was better than, you know, LeBron James and few other players like that, but certainly Kobe, we know, had that work ethic to be like, I'm going to absolutely do everything I can to be like Michael. He modeled his game on Michael. He played like Michael, you know, and he had some of those scoring patches as well, where I think you referenced it earlier this show, where he had that stretch when I think it was the first season without Shaq, where it was like he averaged 35, he won the scoring for the season, but was that the season they beat they lost to the Suns in the first round? I think it was. So Kobe had the drive, no doubt about it. But, you know, and Michael was his, that was the point. That's what he wanted to get to, but he just couldn't quite get there.
Trey, was it newsworthy or not? Did I just waste everybody's time?
I think it's a little bit newsworthy just because it's, I like hearing Lamar Odom talk about Kobe Bryant. They obviously have a close relationship, you know, being there with the Lakers. Kobe was there for Lamar during some dark times, it seems, and obviously, you know, they went through a lot of stuff during their Laker career together. But is it news that Kobe Bryant thought he was better than Michael Jordan? Lee nailed it. Of course not. But the thing is that Kobe's legacy is that maybe he didn't quite get to Michael Jordan's heights, but he got pretty close, and he did it by being a hard worker. And I think that's what we're going to really remember about Kobe Bryant further down the line. A Laker for life, obviously, that's going to be a big part. But the Mamba mentality just filtered out throughout the league. You've heard so many guys talk about how Kobe taught them how to be hard workers. Like that 2008 Olympic team was really like a lightning rod moment for the NBA, where all of these younger players like LeBron and Dwayne Wade, who had had some success in their career, got to actually be teammates with Kobe Bryant during the Olympics, saw how hard he worked to get to the level that he was at, won a couple of titles after that, and really changed the face of the league by saying, you got to put in some Michael Jordan level effort if you want to be considered one of the all-time greats. So yeah, I mean, obviously I got MJ over Kobe, but to even get close is certainly an accomplishment. And Kobe did it by being the next Michael Jordan, by being the guy who wanted to outwork everybody and outcompete everybody.
Lee, I can't believe you didn't name drop the name of the podcast that Lamar Odom was on, too.
It's with Matt Barnes and...
Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. You say it all the time here on the podcast. I mean, you say a variation of it.
Nothing? You got it, mate.
Come on. You said it like before you went on vacation. Everybody's like, what? Jesus. I think you were like, I don't know. You were talking about...
Oh, I know what you mean. It's they don't want the smoke thing. All that smoke. All that smoke? Is that it?
Close enough, man.
All the smoke podcasts. Don't you remember saying that? You said it twice this year.
I have. I said Adam Silver didn't want that smoke from the Utah Jazz.
There it is. Oh, man.
What was the other one?
Are you high right now?
No, but hey, I found some, just on the streets down in Turks and Caicos, I just found some... stuff lying. I was like, people must throw it out.
Hold on. What do you mean you found some stuff?
I just found
street ribs?
No, I wish they did. No. Just like a little bag of marijuana just lying there. And I was like, what am I going to do with this, you know?
So I just left it.
I was like, I'm not just going to go and smoke it myself. I'm certainly not going to bring it back into the country. I'm like, what do I do? This is one of those things. It's like, imagine that. You found some money, but you just couldn't spend it. You know?
Right.
That's what it is. It's like...
Like, were you looking around? Did you think that's
the
thing. No,
I was just there. It was the day we went snoobering, actually. The lady came out and I just saw that.
You saw it under the water. You saw a bank under the water.
It was funny because I was going to take a photo.
Maybe the turtles, that's why they're so high and chill all the time.
No, I was going to send it to Trey, but I'm like, here's a photo.
Send it to Trey.
I know, because I was like, he'd appreciate it, but I can't. It's not like a souvenir I can bring back. You know, I can't say here. I smuggled this into the country for you for an Instagram photo. Like, not worth it.
God,
you
know? All right.
No story about cramping up during a basketball game. Like the most common thing for any basketball player. But he's got 5 minutes on snoobering. Things.
I'm not a fan of this. I didn't say anything yesterday. Snoobering.
That's what it is.
I get it. It's combining scuba diving with snorkeling, I guess, but. Snoobering?
Yeah.
You want to go snoobering, man?
I know. I had to
see if we can find some weed
too.
While we're snoobering. Aquaman!
Yeah, I mean, you really should get the credit for scoobering because you are scoobering. It's just that you're sharing a tank. That's all it is. You're just not carrying the tank on your back. It's on a little thing that floats above
the
surface.
Did you say scoobering or snoobering?
It should be, you should get credit for being scuba diving.
Now I feel high.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Because you are, you're way more scuba diving than you are snorkeling, but it's it's not, you just don't carry your own oxygen around with you.
But this activity that you are doing, is it, it's called snoobering.
Snoober, yeah, it's called snoober. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun. Have you ever done it? Have you ever scuba dived?
I've scuba dived. I did the test or whatever in the pool. Did I go out once? I think I did, but in a shallow area. I hate it.
Really?
Absolutely hate it. I want nothing to do with it. I just do not like that feeling. The breathing.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's what I found.
And I'm a mouth breather. That's the weird part.
Yeah. Well, you've got to put so much trust in that thing that is right. gonna. You know, is not going to like, you're not going to have a little, a little hole and get your mouth full of water. Because when you're deep down like that, they say you're not supposed to just bolt up to the surface either.
No, it bends, man.
Yeah. That's actually one thing about the long hair that I didn't realize. I wasn't expecting, I guess. I've never had this long hair.
Yeah.
A little tougher to get that sort of seal on the face mask, you know, because your hair sort of always come down, so you always got to get it out like that. But there was also a pro to the long hair. Helps protect the back of the neck and the ears a little bit from the sun. So pros and cons.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Snoobering.
Now, Trey, for example.
I'd love to go snoobering with Laird Hamilton.
Well, see, I'd like to see how Trey would go with that big bushy beard there, snoobering, you know. Because, I mean...
Fish might start living in it like a coral.
Like a coral reef. Yeah. Come up looking like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right. Final one here. NBA.com coming through with this headline. Curry and Randall named NBA Players of the Week. Lili, is this news at all?
Well, certainly not that Steph Curry won it. Of course, he was going to. Even though he had a loss for the week, usually they try to find a guy on a team who's, teams goes perfect. And Julius Randall led his Knicks to a 4-0 week. And we talked a lot about him yesterday. He's having an incredible season. And I think he's an absolute certainty for most improved. He's got 1 year left on his contract. I guess the Knicks, I don't think it's a player option, though. I think he's locked into that. But I guess the Knicks could try to extend him in the offseason because I think He's going to attract a lot of interest, and he's going to get a big pay rise because he's been fantastic for the Knicks. He's clearly been their best player. He's you know, whether it's Tom Thibodeau or just Randall's development himself, he's been great and continues to perform. And if the Knicks can make the playoffs, and I think they're almost a lock at this point, that's going to be quite a turnaround for them. So, and Knicks fans, we know they fall in love with their players pretty quickly. So Julius Randle could really set himself up here to become the most recent Knicks legend, you know, if he can continue to yeah. play like this over the, if they, you know, if they sign him to.
It would take one playoff series win for
sure. But I mean, what do you think he's in line for? He's on about $20 million right now. I mean, is he going to get $30 million for, he can get 5 years, $150 million? I think so too.
Yeah, you know? I think so. I mean, he's had an incredible year.
Yeah.
He's not that old, right? Like, what is he?
26? I think, yeah. Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But Trey, any of this newsworthy? That those guys were named your players of the week, Curry and Randle?
No, we talked about Steph Curry and Julius Randle a ton on the show this past week, so makes sense to me.
Mm. And it's only Tuesday.
Yeah, when do the weeks really run, you know? That's the confusing thing. Nice call, though, by the NBA. I think they got this one right.
Hey, Silver, you will not be getting all this smoke from Lee Ellis.
Yeah, no smoke coming from here.
No, no. I was just thought of this, Lee, because you were just in Turks and Caicos, and we were just talking about you doing your snoobering and all that, and then you said on the flight back you watched some other movie, you watched Finding Nemo, you usually watch Mrs. Doubtfire. Did you see that the Rewatchables podcast with, I don't know who's this on this one specifically, but they did Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe you weren't asked to go on it. I was actually upset.
Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. No one's actually rewatched Mrs. Doubtfire more than you.
I had a great little industry jokes in our Slack channel ready to go. I was searching for Mrs. Doubtfire on the Delta in-flight entertainment. I was going to take a photo. We back, baby. They didn't have it.
Oh, that was that's so you should just start traveling with it yourself.
Yeah, I went with Gran Torino, actually, Clint Eastwood from 2008, something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
What did you think of that?
That's not a bad movie. That's not a bad movie. You know, it's
I'd rather watch Mrs. Doubtfire at this point.
I thought Gran Torino won an award though. I meant to Google that when I got back. So I thought, I seem to remember it winning something, but. I don't know. I mean, they've got so many awards these days. Every movie wins something, doesn't it? Really?
Right.
So.
Right. All right. Yeah. Let's take one more break here to hear from Lili telling us about one of our newer sponsors, The Zebra.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you kidding, or do you actually say zebra?
I don't know now.
High, man.
No, because, you know, like, yeah, having sort of lived across a couple of different continents, you know, sometimes those words, you sort of adopt them wherever you are, and then you can't remember what you really say. So if I was back in Australia, I would pick it up, whatever we say in Australia. I think we say zebra in Australia.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Wow. Zebra is American.
I mean, I get like the Z and the Z. Get that. I mean, obviously I'm Canadian. We always say Z, so.
So what do we say in Canada? Zebra?
No, we say zebra.
Oh. I don't know. I honestly don't know anymore.
Dude, I don't think you left that bag.
I don't even know anymore.
I think you've got that bag off screen right now. I think you're lying. We definitely don't say zebra in Canada.
What do they say in American football? They say the zebras are talking about the referees, don't they? They don't say the zebras, do they?
Yep. I mean, they say zebras.
I thought they say zebra.
Trey, are you zebra? You're in the NFT space. Are you racing the zebras?
Oh, I'd love to get a zeb. We'll play on Zeb Run. Zebras.
Oh, yeah, here. Desktop bodybuilding saying correctly. I live in Perth. So we say zebra.
Zebra.
Yeah.
Desktop bodybuilding. Who the hell are you? What are you doing? Just building sick, like jacked up sites. Hey, I respect that. All right.
Zebra.
Zebra. I mean, I never heard that. Okay. Awesome.
I don't know.
No, no. I'm thinking, I mean, in England, people are agreeing with you. I'm seeing other people saying, you know, zebra, but people are saying definitely we said zebra in Canada. Yes, 100%. All right. Let's get to tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Hold on, Lily. Two morning poops, Tokes and Caicos. All right, what do you got?
Yeah, I got a couple of tweets, and they go back to that Philadelphia Golden State game from last night. Now, the first one comes in here from Jackson Frank, who said, after the game, Doc Rivers on George Hill guarding Steph Curry for stretches. He wanted the assignment.
Okay. All right, respect.
And then
he got it.
That was quote tweeted by this one. It just said, George Hill on Steph Curry. You can play good defense. He turns, picks it up, fades, shoots. It's up to Jesus, and Jesus drops it in the rim.
Okay. Wow. So George Hill's out here trying to play Steph Curry and Jesus.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
Tough.
Yeah. He wanted the assignment.
Yeah.
Didn't say he was going to pass the assignment.
No. I mean, no. George Hill, I remember he used to give Kyle Lowry problems. Like, he's a good actual point guard defender, but he's also just a little old, and that's Steph Curry. I mean, we talked about it.
I saw Raptors reporter, blogger, podcaster William Liu pointing out last night, like, how did Fred VanVleet keep Steph Curry in check? Like, earlier this season, I think he held him to like 2 field goals made. Of course, obviously had success in the finals when they did play. It's like, yeah. Is VanVleet defensive player of the year just because he's the only one that somehow figured out how to slow Steph Curry? I don't know what the hell's up with that, but crazy, crazy stuff. Okay. Good tweet of the night. A little back-to-back session there. Pick 'em results from last night. Brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Suns-Bucks game. Another close one. My goodness, these lines are spot on right now. Phoenix, though, covers because they got the victory. So straight up money line win there. Victory for Tass. Victory for Trey. Victory for me. I needed it. Lee, only one taking the Bucks, so comes up a little short there. Tass 8-5. Trey and Lee 7-6. And I'm 5-8 tonight's game, guys. Oh, let's talk about those New York Knicks. They're at home hosting the Hornets, and the Knicks are favored by 5.5 points there. So, Lily, why don't you get us started? Who do you like tonight?
Yeah, 5.5. That line is right where it should be, I think. I think the Knicks deserve to be favorite. There's obviously no LaMelo, no Gordon Hayward for the Hornets there. So I will take the Knicks to win by 6 points or more.
Wow, okay. Pretty decent victory there. Trey, what do you think?
I liked having the points on my side last night. Skeezy came in handy once that game got close there for the Suns and the Bucks. Perhaps the Hornets get a little bit of a joyful bump knowing that LaMelo Ball is going to be returning to the team in not too long. He's been cleared for individual basketball activity. He's not playing tonight, but maybe having him clapping there really helps out. Give me the Hornets here. That's going to be a tough one. Knicks should be favored. Wouldn't be surprised if they win this one, but it's a little bit of a big line, I would say. So give me Charlotte.
100% agree with you, Trey. I think the line's a little too big. I think we're going to get a closer game than that. I think it's going to be a 3-point victory. So give me the Hornets as well to cover. Let's find out who Tassie has.
First instinct is to definitely go with the Knicks. They've won 6 in a row, and that appears to be what the bettors are doing as I scour the internets here. But I'm taking Charlotte. They're 4-0 against the spread in their last 4 matchups with New York. And New York doesn't necessarily blow out teams. 2 of their 6 wins have gone to overtime. I like the 5.5 points. Give me Charlotte.
Lee, once again, the only guy on the other side of this thing. You're the only one taking the Knicks to cover. So another big game here. I could really use the Hornets covering and a loss for you so I can get back in this thing. But we will see. Lee, the only one taking the Knicks to win by 6 or more. Everybody else taking the Hornets to cover. All right. JD, can we check in with you? Is Cosmo still sleeping on his own version of his Helix mattress there? The floor?
Yeah, he woke up.
His name.
Hey, Cosmo. How's it going? Good doggo. What a good doggo. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here on a Tuesday. Like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Let's get to 40K by the end of the week. Email us your NBA questions and comments for tomorrow's Beached Up and podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. We'll be back tomorrow with What You Need to Know, The Daily Show live at 10, and then we'll hit the beach in the afternoon around 3 p.m. Eastern. So classic content coming out of the Classic Factory, but thank you so much for joining us. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, according to the stream team, David Attenborough says zebra. So maybe we should all be saying zebra.
Correct.
Rest the D, people.
You could stay.